very early on, in some of the first experiences of going on with a war party, as they were called, Crazy Horse distinguished himself. He had the ability to stay calm in the midst of chaos. People could see that immediately. As a matter of fact, because of that characteristic, he was given his first adult name. Many people don't know that he had an adult name before he was given the name Crazy Horse. His first adult name was Horse Stands in Sight, or His Horse Stands in Sight. And he was given that name because in the first three or four war party forays that he was involved in, when the enemy charged, he got off his horse, walked a few yards, got down on one knee, and took deliberate aim at the onrushing enemy. And so after a few incidences like that, he was given that name, Horse Stands in Sight. So that was really his first adult name. Up until that time, his boyhood name was Light Hair, or Curly, because his hair was dark brown and it was wavy like his mother's hair. But those kind of characteristics immediately set him apart. And as he got older, and by older I mean 17, 18, 19, people wanted to bring him along whenever they went out on a war party because they could see in him that he had the ability that a lot of people didn't have. He could be cool. He could be calm in the midst of confusion. After several years of developing this kind of a reputation, of course, people began to naturally follow him. He didn't want to be a leader. He didn't stand on a podium and say, okay, this is what I can do, and you should follow me. He never said anything like that. People naturally gravitated toward him because of his ability to be calm and because of his ability to make good, sensible judgments. So he didn't want to be a leader. Crazy Horse was part of a culture, the Lakota culture certainly, but the Northern Plains culture overall, where there was no concept of authority. No one was elected to terms of office. No one applied for the position of leader. You simply demonstrated the characteristics or the virtues that set you apart so people would follow you, and that's what happened to Crazy Horse, as I said earlier. There is no word for authority in the Lakota language. Over time, as his reputation grew and grew, people like to talk about the fact that there was only one order that Crazy Horse did give in certain situations, especially in combat or on the verge of combat. And that order was Mihakab Hiupo, simply follow me. When you think of a leader in that context and compare it to what's happening today in our society or around the world for that matter, I at least wonder about the quality of leadership that we have and the kind of characteristics and character that our leaders really do have. I think by and large that most of our leaders rely on authority to lead people or to tell people what to do. Too many times leaders say, go there and do that. You go there and you put yourself in harm's way. Because I'm telling you what to do, I have the authority to do that. That's not being a leader as far as I'm concerned. A leader is one who shows the way. And simply by saying, Mihakab Hiupo, or follow me, Crazy Horse did that. And whenever I look at a leader, whether it's a political leader or any other kind of leader, the head of a corporation, for example, I tend to measure him or her by what I know about Crazy Horse and what I know about what the concepts of leadership are in my culture. And frankly, I find that most of the leaders that we have today, whether it's in private life or in government or in the public sector, don't measure up. Another kind of leader in that same era of Crazy Horse was Sitting Bull. Sitting Bull was first a fighting man like Crazy Horse was. He learned the skill of the hunter and the warrior, but he took a slightly different path than Crazy Horse did. He became a medicine man. Now, a medicine man is not someone who decides, well, I'm going to be a medicine man. It's a calling. Medicine men were called to be that by other powers, by spirits, if you will. And the one way to tell whether a medicine man is real or not is to discern whether he really wants to be a medicine man. Most medicine men today, even today, say they don't want to be that because of the kinds of responsibility that they have or they're asked to have. Sitting Bull was one of those kind of people. He didn't want to be a medicine man, but he was. But he was also a very astute politician and a skilled orator. Because of those qualities, people came to him and they followed him like they followed Crazy Horse. And interestingly enough, the two of them came together at a point in history where they had the most influence of anybody up to that time in Lakota history. In the spring and summer in that era of 1876, it was Sitting Bull who sent out the call for the Lakota and the Dakota and the Nakota to meet somewhere in the area of what is now southeast Montana. And his concern was that we should talk, the people should talk about what to do about the encroaching Euro-Americans because they were becoming more and more numerous and they were making many, many inroads, literally, into Lakota territory. And Sitting Bull wanted to do something about them. And the reason that he couldn't just order anybody to do anything about whites was that there was no authority. And so he was using his skills as an orator and he was using his sense of being a civilian leader and his influence as a medicine man to talk to all of the leaders among the Lakota. And so once the people started gathering, at first there were only a few hundred, and then the encampment grew until there were a few thousand. And by the time the Battle of the Little Bighorn occurred, it was said that there were 8,000 to 10,000 people. But the whole reason behind that gathering was Sitting Bull. Sitting Bull sent out the call, and the people wouldn't have responded if he didn't have the kind of reputation and influence that he had at that time in our history. So just by the sheer influence of his reputation, people came. And the gathering lasted over a month. People don't know that. The people started gathering together in late April, early May, and they moved from one spot to another, mainly because of the horses. They had thousands and thousands of horses, and they had to find a grazing for them. But during that time, Sitting Bull went from one leader to the next, saying, this is what we should do before it's too late. And interestingly enough, most of those leaders came from the reservations because most of the people were already living on reservations in 1876. And as we know, out of that gathering, the Battle of the Little Bighorn occurred during that summer. And both Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse, as well as several others, had a very influential role in that battle, obviously. But at that gathering, the two most influential people were Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse. Sitting Bull was a political leader. He was a civilian leader. Crazy Horse was more the military leader, although he was a civilian leader as well. But they were both at the pinnacle of their influence. And it was primarily because of those two individuals that so many people came together. And that's what the power of leading by example is all about. Because both of these people, both Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull, never stood back and directed. They led the way. They were the first to go. Which leads me to the leadership philosophies of Crazy Horse.